All right. Well, anyhow, I want to do a contrast here. Speaking of the contrast, I want to contrast both physical and spiritual. It really is something that runs through your Bible. The physical is not maybe what you're thinking just right off. So let me explain myself a little more. When you talk about the physical that runs through your Bible, it always connects to religion. The spiritual side always connects to God or the faith that we have. And it runs throughout your Bible, starting back in Genesis all the way through Revelation. For instance, the physical in your body is exemplified, I can tell you, by two individuals, and I'm not saying it's specific to those two. It can be broader than these two, but I mean, there are two that stand out on the physical side. One is Goliath. We're pretty familiar with Goliath, how he withstood Israel and blasphemed the God of Israel. His stature was anywhere between 9.5 to 10 feet tall, so he was a giant among men. And they gave his spear that he had, the spearhead itself. I did some research on the weight of it, because it was measured in shekels of silver, and I'm not familiar with that weight standard, so I had to research it. So the spearhead of his spear was between 14 and 15 pounds, quite a bit, not considering the rest of the spear itself. So my point in that is, that is the physical side that runs through your Bible, and it is a religious side also. I can't go into details because don't have the time to, but trust me, that is a religious side. The other example on that side of physical would be the Antichrist, who's going to yet come. We will be out of here before he comes. So we have the privilege of understanding him without having to go through his time. So that's a good thing. But it will be basically the devil incarnate in a body of flesh, and having all the powers of the devil, this man will bring fire from heaven and just show signs and wonders throughout the world. So that's the physical side of everything. Now, there's the spiritual side, which has to do with the faith. There was always men and women throughout time that were on the spiritual side that had faith. And they're identified in your Bible, and we won't go through them all, but you can just imagine the high-profile individuals in your Bible that are carried out. So, consequently, there are a few things I want to talk about in relationship to the physical side of an individual and the spiritual side of an individual. Not much study time to go on between Louise and I getting back and getting this thing prepared. So brace yourself. That's all I can say. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, and it, I know we're in the middle of the thought process here, but I want to get this verse here. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, the reason why I read that is because in the verse, it is abundantly above all that we ask or think. I think your spiritual well-being starts off with a mindset. And that's what I want to talk about. Your well-being spiritually as opposed to physically. Now remember, the physical side is religion. So I'm going to be doing some comparison here. But I want you to understand, it's a mindset. Anybody here that's familiar with getting into a workout program, lifting weights, whatever it may be, if your mindset is not involved in that, you're not going to carry it out. It's going to be one of those things where it's sort of emotionally driven on the front end, but after a while, it becomes labor. And if your mind isn't strong in it, you're going to give up. So it's about a mindset, and this is what Paul's addressing here, the thinking process. Have your mind set. So look in Ephesians chapter 4, you're right there. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, in this set of verses that we read, one of the words that I'm interested in is stature. Not statue, but stature. And stature has to do with an age that's reached where you can do pretty much anything. It also addresses one's growth or development. And so Paul talks about us reaching the stature of the fullness of Christ. And be it known that you're to reach the stature of the fullness of Christ and not man, meaning that we don't edify a man for our development, spiritually speaking. We look towards Christ through Paul for our development into the full stature that we're to be. So, in any development, whether it's physical or spiritual, there is something that old school medicine teaches. If you're going to have people, and they start with kids, or used to, they don't anymore, but if they start with kids in school, there's something about your stature that they really press upon for you to be developed, physically developed. And there's two things they encourage, and that is exercise and diet. Without fail, that's old school teaching. You know why it is? Because it works. Exercise and diet work. Now, when I say diet, it doesn't just mean cut back. It doesn't mean, well, I'm going to exercise, then I'm going to eat a box of candy, you know, 3 pounds. It means the proper foods along with your exercise to develop. So there is a physical side with religion. A physical side with religion. And so I want to look at the exercise that's in this world from the physical religion. Okay? Not sure if you're following me, but I hope it starts taking shape here. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Now understand that as I'm talking about the physical side, this isn't something I'm trying to all get us physically developed. I'm going to try to show you the physical side that exists in your Bible that is made up from religion, meaning it's bad. That's what I want to show you, okay? So the physical side, exercise and diet. Exercise, diet, and I want to show you religion in this side, okay? So let's look at the exercise end of it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." I hope you're starting to see this a little bit more as it gets more and more into the message. The physical side. Exercise. Did you see any word there in that verse that connects with exercise?
Works.
Works of what? The law. What's Paul saying? Those that are exercising in the works of the law, works as exercise, cannot be justified. What does religion tell you today? You got to live it. You got to do it. You got to carry it out. They have people exercising. It's a physical performance that goes all the way back to the garden. There's nothing new about it. The first example of that was the exercise of covering one's nakedness with fig leaves. Okay? So it has to do with works. Works is always on the physical side. And we see that here in Galatians chapter 3. He continues on. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians. It's pretty strong words, by the way, O foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it yet be in vain? If it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So he's still addressing this physical exercise thing. What is that? The works of the law. You can't be justified by the works of the law. You can't be justified before God by doing anything any of the religions today tell you to do. And they're out there. People right now, at this very moment, are walking down an aisle somewhere to get closer to Jesus. They want God in their life. So they're in a physical performance. Physical, not spirit. Physical performance to come down the aisle. They're going to confess Jesus as Lord. They're going to invite Him into their heart. They're going to show everybody that they've done this by being baptized. They're going to repent of their sins. They're going to turn over a new leaf. And all of those other things that get them into that religious physical performance. It runs through your Bible. The Galatians were no different. They went back under the law, and consequently, he called them fools for doing so. You're a foolish individual for doing so. You were established by the faith of Christ. Now you're going back to the works of the law. God is not going to accept you by the works of the law. How did you get into this thing, he said? Was it by the Spirit or by the works of the law? Well, it's by the Spirit. Hearing the gospel, which is Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, and consequently, you're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, not by the works of the law. But therein, there's that physical side of exercise. Not only that, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Look in Ephesians 5. Let me ask you how this works out for you. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, look in verse 11. Paul says, and have no fellowship with the, watch this, unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You say, yeah, but that's darkness there. That's that whole, you know, people going out there and committing those sins out there. No. That part of it, but that's not what he's addressing here. The unfruitful works of darkness, the darkness is that side of false religion that has come down the line from the day of Adam and Eve. It has come down the line. So there's a physical side there. And the end result of their works is unfruitful. It's not anything that's going to develop them before God Almighty. So he says, have no fellowship with them. Look in 1 Timothy. Go over to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, but refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise ourselves rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the light that now is and of that which is to come. You know, I know that Tim and I have discussed this quite often over the years. And I actually, be honest with you, and, you know, one of the things I learned from Brother Moore, it's easy. If you don't know the answer someone asks you, is you say this, I don't know. If you can't learn to say that, you're going to have a pride issue later down the line. So I've learned that I don't know works very well when I don't know. So Tim and I have discussed verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, because Tim works out. He lifts weights, been doing them for years. And he says, I know I violate that verse 8 there, profiteth little, doesn't it? Well, I've come to change or develop an understanding of the verse much more now than I did back in the day that we were discussing this verse of bodily exercise profiteth little. And I'm going to tell you my position on this. You're free to conclude what you want to conclude on it. I believe that he's addressing regarding the bodily exercise there, not to Timothy about going out and lifting weights. I don't think he's addressing that. I think the bodily exercise is the works, the unfruitful works of darkness. I believe it's that physical exercise of the works of the law cannot justify you, of which Paul had to deal extensively with. And so consequently, it is the body exercise of being under commands and ordinances. Doesn't have anything to do with dumbbells and push-ups and sit-ups. It has to do with the unfruitful works that are associated in the physical side of this world. And so, consequently, Paul then begins to address in the entire verse the contrast there. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So I see an exercise on the physical side of this whole thing. And folks, it runs into religion. That's what we're talking about when we talk about physical, the religious side. Now, on the physical side, we had exercise. What do they recommend for someone to be healthy? Exercise and diet, right? Exercise and diet. Let's look at the diet. We saw the physical side of exercise. Let's look at the physical side of diet. Look in 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, go to chapter 2. We're going to read about two individuals here. These are two guys you don't want in your church. Once again, we're going to read about two guys here. These are two guys you don't want in your church. You'll see why. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, look in verse 16. Paul says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. So you have Hymenaeus and Philetus who came into Paul's assemblies and they taught that you've missed the resurrection or the rapture. Folks, you miss the resurrection or the rapture, you're going into the tribulation. You're in trouble. So it overthrew the faith of some. Now the key in all this is verse 17, and their word. Word. Do you realize in your Bible that the word of God is likened unto bread? This book is bread, meaning you eat it for nourishment. Well, the word they have was also bread, but it wasn't good bread. It was bad. So consequently, the end result is their word. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker. In the Greek, that word canker, let me get my book. That word canker is interesting because the Greek word there, that's the Greek word for canker. That's an R, by the way. That's the Greek word. The English word we get from that Greek word is gangrene. Now, we've heard of gangrene, but do we really know exactly what it is? Well, being the doctor that I am, no. I'm the kind of doctor that can't make you any better. But, no, it's gangrene. That's where we get our English word from. And it always refers to gangrene is body tissue that has died. Now, what is Paul saying here? Their word is like gangrene. Their word kills. It spreads. It kills. So on the physical side, not only is there exercise unfruitful, non-beneficial, but their diet is bad also. And it has to do with doctrine. Jesus Christ said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so the apostles thought, well, we've not taken enough bread. We need to get more bread. He goes, no. You didn't get it. The leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees is their doctrine. It's unhealthy. It's harmful to you. And it runs through your Bible. It's interesting. You go back to the garden. Hath not God said? It's another version. It's unhealthy. Look what it did to Adam and Eve. Deceived them. And all of mankind fell into sin because of it. The wages of sin is what? It brought death. The physical of religion brings forth death. Don't eat the bread. We always joke about don't drink the Kool-Aid. Well, folks, it's worse than that. Don't eat the bread. Don't eat the words they're teaching you. Shun them. That's why he said, have no fellowship with them. Don't compromise God's pure words for this poisonous stuff that's out there. Say, well, Mark, how do I know? Go back to Ephesians. Don't have to turn there, but when we started, God gave pastors, teachers, and evangelists. For what? Your stature. What is that? Your development. Listen to the man that God gave you. Not just some guy that's a self-ordained preacher out there. He's got this huge congregation. And you go, well, yeah, he's not right here. And he's wrong a little here. But he's got good stuff over here. And that's what people do all the time. They sit there and they listen to a guy where they can sit there and go, that's not right. But they sear their conscience and go, well, he's got good points over here. It helps me with my day-to-day coping with life. Well, you want day-to-day coping with life? You got something in a King James Bible. It's there. And it's littered with both doctrine that shows you how to have a healthy life and doctrine that shows you what can kill you, destroy you. But then on the same token there's a spiritual side in all of this. What is good for development? Exercise and diet. Well, there's a spiritual side. As you have a physical side where you develop by exercise and diet, there's a spiritual side where you develop the stature, the fullness, the building up, the coming of age, with exercise and diet. So let's look at that. Look in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians 2, verse 12. Let's look at the exercise part on the spiritual side. In Philippians 2, 12, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You ever go work out? Isn't that interesting? The phraseology there? Work out? Well, this is the spiritual side of the exercise. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. He didn't say work for your salvation, did he? I've heard preachers, watch them on television, they read this verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You better fear God. God's going to get you. You better get to work for God, else he's going to wind up getting a hold of you and cast you right into hell. I've seen this. That isn't a verse. That's the canker of their word. You can't work out your salvation if you don't have it. You've already got your salvation, that which is in you, the salvation of God Almighty. Work it out. Let that salvation out. You know, the people, you know, Mark, I don't know verses like you do. Well, I don't know that much either. I got to read half the, I mean, they don't fly off the top of my head here. But I don't know verses like you do. Let me ask you something. You saved? Well, yeah. Okay. You got the most powerful thing you can possess. What's that? Your testimony. Sometimes that's all you have to do is tell somebody your testimony and stop right there. You don't have to badger them, beat them, drag them to the cross. You just tell them your testimony and stop right there. Let that sink in. They disagree with it. That's their business. They agree with it. That's the Lord's dealing. He'll save them. You know, those saying, you go out there and you catch them, the Lord will clean them. Old fishing proverbs, you catch them, the Lord will clean them. Like a nice fillet of fish right now. Oh, I'm sorry. But anyhow, you see that? Work out. Work out your salvation that exists. So we got this exercise mindset working on the spiritual side. Look in Ephesians 2. Ephesians, Philippians. In Ephesians 2, we're very familiar with two of the verses. We're less familiar with the third verse. In Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. This is a gift of God. Not a physical work, which is religion, remember that. Not threw that in there, but that's what he's talking about. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So they're good works there. There is that spiritual side of working out. Remember? Development? Stature, exercise, and diet. Right. Exercise. We got the exercise working here. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I hate to brag. No, I don't. I really like it. I can just conclude within my own mind and speak verbally here. And upset some and say, my worst day of preaching is better than Joel Osteen's best day of preaching. Just saying. I've seen the guy. And I'm telling you. That, is It's not bragging, it's fact. Because I'm really, guys, I'm laboring up here. I mean, I just didn't have the window to prepare this like I normally do. So it's really, I'm up here shaking and starting to sweat. And I'm like, come on, baby, we can do this. It's an exercise. You remember exercise and? All right, okay, you're awake. People hear it now. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all exercise. Good works. Good works. It's exercising, you see. There's a spiritual side to this thing. Exercise. Now, as there is the exercise for your stature, there's also a, anybody? Diet. Let's check the diet. It's fixing to turn loose outside, but we're okay in here. Diet side on the spiritual side. You remember the words of Hymenaeus and Philetus? Their word eat as doth a canker. So there's a bad side on the physical side, religion. The spiritual side, 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, look in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, and he goes through there. He's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, rail, and even evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw self. You know any preachers today that teach or believe or their philosophy is gain is godliness? In other words, if you're going through a bad time, you're suffering through this, that, or the other, maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you're having some issues in your faith. You know, if you really believed, you wouldn't be going through this. That's what's out there. Well, Jesus Christ was impoverished. No, he wasn't living, just not living to our standards of life. He was impoverished. He had nothing. Not a place to sleep at night. He had nothing. He was impoverished. Paul gave everything he had, whether it was to feed the poor, whether it was to clothe the brethren, help the brother. The man had nothing. But at the same time, he was wealthy. He was wealthy. Why? Because he had the Lord working through him, and the Lord provided everything he needed. Paul, right into Timothy, talked about these men who consent not to wholesome words. Not to, you know, the word wholesome, it means to be sound, to be well, to be in good health. To be in good health from words. The spiritual side of this, for your development, your stature, is exercise and diet. You need a good diet of wholesome words. Matter of fact, I imagine most of us recall a bread company called Wholesome. H-O-L-S-U-M. They didn't spell it the same. But the pronunciation and the sound mimic the W-H-O-L-E-S-O-M-E. Wholesome. Meant the same. And so consequently their thought is, this bread is wholesome. In other words, it's good for development. Should be part of your diet. So we took it. We took that bread. And we deep fried it and covered it with sugar. And killed the wholesomeness of it. But we were so guilty about that bread that we took and we deep fried and we covered with sugar. We felt so bad about it. We're like, punch a hole in the center and be less bread. It's a donut. Come on, wake up with me. Helps our conscience, right? Well, you know, if it was a whole piece. Wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the corruptors do with the Bible when that happens? They stick to the red letters. Well, the red letters will eat you like a canker. You go back to the red letters of Jesus Christ. There is nothing profitable for you in that message. Now, it can help you to understand Christ and His ministry. It can help you to understand why He came, who He was, what His purpose at that time was for. But you can't understand Jesus Christ without Paul, our apostle, writing you wholesome words that are for your development. You know what the best form of wholesome words is for your development? Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised again. You eat a loaf of that, you're not only feeling good, you have eternal life. How much healthier can you get? I mean, they're trying to extend your life today. The medical community says, oh, we got him up to, what, 78 years old? Longest man has lived in the United States on average. Well, that's pretty good, because I've seen some 78s. I'm like, die before then. No, I'm just kidding. Don't want to reach that point. Nope. But nonetheless, diet and exercise. How much healthier are you when you hear that Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again for your justification? You're not going to find that in the red letters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find where when you trust in Christ, we're still no better than the day we trusted in Christ, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're not going to find that in the red letters. You're not going to find that we're sealed unto a point in time of whether we die or the Lord come back and pick us up, we're God's all through it. You're not going to find that back there. You know where you find it? You find it in your wholesome words, the words of the Apostle Paul, which is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're going to hand you the best health prescription you could possibly have. And that is one dose, one time, by trusting in the Lord. That's all it takes. That's powerful. That gives you the ability to live forever. And from there, grow up, increasing your stature by good works, exercise, and diet. Spiritually speaking, and get away from the junk food and the laziness of the physical side, which is religion. Flee from it. Get away from it. It's only going to get bigger and worse. So be strong in the faith of God Almighty. That's it. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time and opportunity we have to gather. I pray if there's any here or listening to this recording that's never trusted in Jesus Christ, they do so right now as they hear the gospel of Christ dying for our sins, being buried and raised again the third day for our justification. We give you thanks and praise for these things and the hope that's set before us of eternal life. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.